Welcome to The Biz with your host, Cleo. The show is brought to you by colo-cation.com hosting. Tonight's guest is RJ from juicybunny.com, and let's get him on the line. How's the weather in California tonight?
It's just a few minutes after 5, and Santa Monica is beautiful. The wind, there's a cool breeze, and it's actually kind of cool where we're at. I know. Where are you? You're over on the Palm Coast or something, or?
I'm down near Miami in Fort Lauderdale.
Oh my goodness!
It's hot and it's like a sauna. This is the worst month out of the year here.
I grew up in Florida. I feel your pain. I grew up on the Sweat Coast on the other side of where the Gulf of Mexico is at.
Oh, okay.
It's like now it's like, of course, as soon as I leave, it turns into porn capital. But you know, Florida, but. Next to Miami, I guess, but, you know.
It is the porn capital these days.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. So how are you today? What's going on in Cleo's world?
What's going on? Just finished juicing, and now I'm going to do my show.
Oh, excellent. Is that why we're here?
That's it. So for everybody that doesn't know who the hell you are, tell us about yourself.
Well, my name's RJ. I sometimes go by my Thai nickname, which is Jailing, and that's kind of like I was over in Thailand working for a Thai rock and roll band with an American singer and who sung in Thai, and we did this huge tour, and by the end of the tour, I was voted the Jailing of the group, which is sort of a like bent, twisted monkey, sort of perverted monkey. And because I got all kinds of offers, let's say, and I'm flexible, so and it was funny. So it was like during the Thai New Year's, and so probably that was the reason, because it was just, you know, when it's like 130 degrees at 10 o'clock at night and you're sweating and you're in the shower, it's like you start to go mental. But
so it's not there.
It's pretty hot, yeah. I love Thailand, but, you know, I don't know if I could live there permanently, but in any case, that was like, that was about 10 years ago, and that was after I'd spent a lot of time in North Africa, and North Africa is kind of where I got interested in doing adult stuff, and just because I'm one of those kind of guys that just, you know, will go anywhere, try anything, and if it's interesting enough, or, you know, I think, you know, I don't always have to think there's money in it, but if I think I'm going to come out on the other side, all right, then, you know, I'll try it. And so I was living in Tangier, and I had a Moroccan girlfriend, and we met a couple that was like a guy from Texas and a Moroccan woman. They were married, and he had some sort of aircraft company, the more I got to know him, the more I realized he made his real money elsewhere, which was basically tunneling a hooker out of Morocco and into Texas to work in massage parlors and whatever else, you know. So he was like, you know, because I was working on movies there and films and stuff in Morocco, like mostly documentaries and stuff. And I had all this equipment, and so he's like, well, you know, I'm interested in film and video production. And I had no idea what he was talking about until he brought me over to one of his houses, and it's like, oh, and I saw all these, like, naked chicks laying around. I was like, yeah, that's what you're talking about. And so I started shooting there and started, you know, and then I left because my time was up, basically. Just I had to get back to the States, and was going to help him with some stuff here, but he ended up, I think, going to prison for all of that, actually.
<Okay. laughs>
And to give you an idea of the kind of country Morocco is, during the trial, the prosecutor played one of the videos that someone else shot, not me, but someone shot, and half the audience just literally passed out and fainted, you know. And they were just like, oh, they couldn't believe that this was going on in their own country. But, you know, wake up and guess what? But but I thought, you know, that's kind of what got me interested in Juicy Bunny, which is, you know, that's how this all ties in. Because I was thinking about you know, I travel around all over the world, and I know a lot of webmasters there on the MP board, you know, travel around and live in all kinds of places. And so everyone's interested in, you know, people of the opposite sex and of the same sex from, you know, all over the world. And so that's kind of, you know, I'm pretty open. I cast a wide net. I'm agreeable to most girls from, you know, as long as you have a pulse and stuff. I like girls, you know, I like women and stuff. It's cool. And I thought, you know, there'd be a lot of people like that too. And so then I started seriously thinking about, you know, probably in 2000, the early 2000s, I moved to Los Angeles and started working on movie and TV shows, and had a friend on the crew one day. I was working on an audio crew, and he's like, "You want to make some extra money? I know someone, because I'm a writer and as well." And said, "You know, I know someone that's like looking for some help on a script." And I was like, "What's the movie?" And he's like, "Well, it doesn't really have much of a story, but I guess it doesn't need to have much of a story. You just like need to fix a couple things and try to help people through their lines." And all he said, "It pays like $100. Here, go to this place, you know, tomorrow night, and you know, just be open minded." And that's where I learned where Chatsworth was.
Okay. that's a hell of a way to get. What year is this?
This is like our early 2000s, like 2001 or 2002, something like that.
Okay, I thought I heard you mention that. So you've been in this business for a while.
I have been, and just like in different aspects of it, and mostly behind the scenes and never really on camera or anything unless it's by accident. But I'm not really a stud performer. So, I can be in the room and I can be next to people that are having sex. It doesn't freak me out or anything, but that was a fun, it turned out to be a fun show, that thing, because I started out to be a Russian mobster, and that turned, and they actually brought me on as an actor in that movie. It was for Joel Kelly, and then it turned in from Russian mobster into FBI captain or something. And so we were walking around, like, you know, with FBI jackets on and stuff. It was pretty hilarious. And I was in front of the building, and the two guys came out, and one guy went running back into the building, and then the other guy that stayed started talking to me, and then he realized I was one of the talent, and he went back in laughing his ass off. And when he came out, it turns out the other guy had like was carrying some weapon or something and thought I was really the FBI. And so I think I can work well in this industry. I think it'll be fun, you know. It'll be it's not too uptight. People like you're just kind of like, you know, going with the flow. And
it is a collective assortment of people, this industry.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I've met so many wild types and so many funny people and strange people, and I like it. I hate boring people, and I think that's why I've stayed like in the, you know, since I was, you know, finished college, well, when I was in high school, really started playing in music and stuff. And I like the entertainment business because it attracts, you know, unique characters. It's
strange, it's like, and unusual.
Yeah, you know, and so I think it's good, and it's what makes things interesting. And you read some of the board things, and it's like, oh my god, you know, it's the better part of life. I would hate to go through life, you know, like I had started out just working for an insurance company, you know, like Blue Cross or something, and just working at a computer and doing it really boring. I thought, oh my god, you know. I remember someone showed a picture of Cher. And this is like when Cher was probably, well, she just turned 50 or something. And someone said, "You see that lady over there? Yeah, they're the same age." And the lady that she was pointing to looked like Cher's grandmother. And it's like, she's been here for 35 years. Do you get the point? I think I quit the next day.
My biggest nightmare is ever having to return to a real job. I love this business.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, how long have you been? You've been in the business for like what? For 10 or 15 years?
I've been in it since basically 1998.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's so. Seen a lot of changes in the business. Not all of them for the better.
I know. I'm yeah, dealing with that too. And yeah, because you have your own websites too, right? And
I manage a couple of websites for a couple of the local shemales, and you know, then they have Clio's links, and you know, I pretty much just promote whatever.
I know. I got into this, you know, from the consumer point of view, from a customer. Like, I started scanning websites when I was in, like, in 95 or 96 or something. And then, you know, I just, you know, checking out, like, Thumbs, places like yours, and later on, and then, like, Persian Kitty and Asian Thumbs and stuff. That was, like, one of my favorite sites, and Uh-Oh and all that stuff. And I thought, what a cool biz. I wonder how you get into this and all that. And then it just, I think until recently, like when tube sites took over and this whole concept of, you know, ripping each other's content off or just other people's content or stealing it or just doing whatever and people do now and they call it good business, I have a real hard time with it. And I find being on the content side of it, production side of it, it really bums me out. It cracks me up what people think's legit or what's okay to do, you know?
Yeah, I think we're all just hoping that eventually the tubes will die from lack of income or something. I don't know.
I know. I mean, I see that, and then I'm seeing all these forums and stuff, and, you know, and then the file lockers, and it seems like just, you know, shady people go from one thing to the next. It's like they don't stick in anything, and I would hope they would die, but it seems that some of them get bigger and bigger and try to go more legit, and people are telling me it's like, well, it's like China, you know. China is like in this period of just, you know, piracy and theft, and it's like, well, because they're trying to build their country, and it's like, well, if your business model includes like theft, I don't know what kind of business model is that, you know. And everybody does it. I'm just the last to find out about it. I don't know. It's kind of like.
Something just happened with your audio.
Really? Uh-oh.
Can you hear me? You're there, but it got staticky, and now you sound far away. Did, like, a wire come out or something?
Oh, I don't know. Hopefully, that's probably there. Am I back in?
Yeah, you don't sound as good, but you're back. It just kind of got...
There you go.
Yeah, that's better.
Ah, okay. Now I'm just going to jiggle.
Okay. Sounds like you're running over your computer.
I'm dealing with a Dell laptop. What do you want?
Okay, well, you know, get what you pay for. Dell rhymes with hell.
Right. Oh, my God. It sounded good in the store, but, you know.
Yeah, I'm a Mac user myself. I don't know, you know.
Yeah, I just, I love Mac, but I just sit there and stare at it and go, I have to log out by dropping it into the trash? What? It just makes me really nervous. Every time I log out, and then the first thing I do when I log back in is like, check the trash. It's like, do I need that? Do I need to bring it back out of the trash?
Okay. So tell us about Juicy Bunny.
Well... Juicy Bunny, I started shooting for Juicy Bunny in 2005, and it's been a while. I mean, and to be honest, you know, I'm not really sure what I was thinking. I didn't think that I would have to. Can you hear me okay?
Actually, you're staticky and breaking up. Is that better?
Is that better?
That's
can you hear
better.
Me now?
Yeah, that's much better.
Okay. I'm just going to hold it.
Okay, what are you holding?
A long tubish wire. I don't know. It's just, I got to keep it in. I got to keep it in the hole.
Okay, let's try this again. Tell us about Juicy Bunny.
So, bada, bada bing, bada boom. I'll be in Vegas and Barstow the night after. I started shooting. How do you start? It's like I didn't want to do anything that's real, you know, porn, like, you know, bow wow, chicka chicka bow wow kind of stuff. And I didn't, you know, the more I was watching Japanese porn, the more I really liked their style of shooting, which is, you know, really, it's kind of like my wife describes it as like, you know, you're in the room, you're a fly on the wall, you're seeing something that you're not supposed to be really seeing. And it's kind of in. You know, I like that idea of kind of being like not so much a voyeur, but just kind of like up close and personal, but focusing on the woman rather than the guy and the, You know, I hate seeing guys, you know, the close-up shots of the guy squeezing one out or something. And it's like so much of the porn valley seems to be focused on the guy. And I'm like, I don't get it. But, you know, I watch porn to look at women or look at, if I shemales, I want to look at the shemale, not the guy or whatever, you know. And so that's what, you know, the concept of Juicy Bunny was, to find sort of like-minded, you know, models. I didn't look for professional models or, you know, some pros that were really cute. But I was looking for, you know, girls that got into porn for, you know, for every reason, from just trying to make extra money to, like, just really horny types, and girls that wanted to express themselves, or girls that could follow direction or could take on sort of, you know, take on personas and stuff, and you know, have fun. It's sort of like a fantasy. It was like a fantasy time, because I really like the idea of cosplay and manga, and I like the idea of just, you know, it being a whole other world, like a, definitely an escape for people.
Or, you have and, quite an assortment of different types of models at Juicy Bunny. It's not just Asian or anything. It's everything.
Mm. Well, there goes that net, you know. The, you know, it's kind of like I like you know, I don't like girls that walk up to you with their, you know, with their dress up and their twat showing and stuff like that. I like girls that are, you know, that'll give you the wink or the corner out of, you know, the, you know, when you're like, for example, when you're in North Africa and stuff, you know, girls cannot be very open about, you know, people in general cannot be open sexually, and very, and it's like that in Japan. And it's kind of like that in Thailand. If you go into like the neighborhoods where it's like nice girls and stuff, or girls that are not pros or working, you know, they can't just like openly come up and say, "Hey, you want to fuck?" You know, and so I mean, unlike America, where you know you're you can get to third base on the street, you know, and then
and so those involves cash.
It usually involves cash, right? Yeah, no honey, no money, or whatever. No money, no honey. And so, but yeah, so the girls there are just, you know, I shot everything, you know, from like new girls, you know, who were like on amateur sites or like on the amateur booking sites, to Craigslist, to friends of friends, or, you know, because I would make a connection with one model. And then, you know, like one girl that's on there, she's on the featured part of the tour. I think her name is Carmen. And she's like a Spanish-Russian girl. And she's a total hippie from Northern California. And, you know, she was really cool to work with. And I worked with her right after she had had a baby, and she didn't look it at all, but she was, like, lactating and stuff. And so she had these big, huge breasts, and she was, like, just feeling very horny all the time. And so she was having a great time shooting. But she actually thanked me for not raping her, you know, after the shoot.
That's a plus.
And I was like, do you get that often? And she's like, most try. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And so, you know, she's like, well, thank you for not. And so, you know, and I'm like, well, no, I'm cool. You know, I don't need to go raping up the models and stuff. But, you know, what it did is that then in turn, she turned me on to other girls. And these are girls that were just friends of hers. And some of them were hippie chicks, and some of them were like tattooed girls, and, you know, some of them were granola crunchy types. And they're like, there was one girl that I shot with Aloma. She's from like Uruguay or Paraguay or someplace like that. And she was like a hairy model. And I think she had just completed a shoot for some magazine called Hopeless But Hairy, or Hairy But Hopeful or something. And she was a really hairy, but, you know, she was a real hippie type that you wouldn't find. You know, I was looking for girls who are not, you're not going to find, you know, on Hustler or just on every other website. And that was, you know, a part of the thing, the whole thing, like with Juicy Bunny, is just like more natural girls. Girls, you know, sometimes you have to just tell them how to use a dildo. They don't use dildos, or they don't use vibrators, or they are, you know, they're not a... But then what I found is that the results can be really fun when you say, well, you know, be yourself and be the person you were like the day before you decided to take this gig, or the day before you decided to look for adult work. And then just be really verbal about it. And then, you know, I give kind of people strange direction, as you can imagine by now after talking with me, that I'd probably give them some pretty funny direction. And I found when you make girls laugh, they also make them really horny too, and gets them relaxed.
So you shoot all your own content.
Yeah, I mean, I shoot all the Juicy Bunny girls, and then we have what we call bonus Juicy Bunny girls, and that's content from two or three sources, two or three friends that are outside, and they have their own trip going on, so I can't really, try to dictate to them. I try to get them to go with the flow of it, of what Juicy Bunny is. And but for us, I mean, we shoot all of our content, which is the bulk of the content on the site. And we shoot, sometimes I'll have two or three people helping me, or, a couple of other, sometimes I involve women, in the crew. And that also is pretty, that's a lot of fun, because then the girls get really relaxed. And, I've been on real professional shoots, and it's very professional and cold. And if people really knew what, like, a real Porn Valley shoot was like, they'd probably be like, what? Because it's just like people are reading the newspaper and, smacking their gum and eating a sandwich. And
I shoot porn. It's the most boring thing in the world.
Well, I can't believe that anything you do would be boring. But it's funny then. So you know what I'm talking about when you shoot your first scene and you're like, can you just move your, move what is your vagina? I mean, and then by the 10th scene, you're like, yeah, can you just move the P flap to the right over to the left? And then can you just spread the lip? And yeah, okay, we got,
Yeah, it's just, I've been holding this big ass heavy video camera and I'm just, are they going to come yet?
Right.
I'm going to be editing all this shit out anyway. Right. Time for the money shot.
I know. Well, I have these little signals I give people, and I tell them, like, okay, I need 5 minutes, so I'm going to give you a five sign, and then when I start twirling my finger, that means wrap it up. bring me into the home stretch, baby.
I saw you looking for trades for your ShemaleClubJapan.com blog, I guess it is.
Yeah.
That's yours, isn't it?
That's mine.
Yeah, I saw you looking for trades for it.
Yeah, it's not going well.
Have you tried Linkspun?
Yeah, and we have, and I'm actually on Linkspun, and yeah, I like Linkspun a lot, but I was kind of worried because the guy that runs it, someone saying he might be gone or something. Or
I heard something about that too. I have all my trades in Link Organizer, so if Linkspun disappears, I'll miss it, but all my trades will still be safe.
Yeah, that's right. We've got a program that monitors that stuff too, because it's like up down up down up down. But I'm trying to build that. We've started to incorporate handwritten posts, and that's probably the real reason, because as far as Shemale Club Japan goes, it's really to promote, Shemale Japan and Japanese new hats and stuff. And when I'm posting on other boards, I don't see many, new half promoters. In fact, I think I seem to be the only one, but I know they're out there. I know there's a lot out there, but, it would be cool to get more stuff like that. And I'm thinking about trying to do a Shemale site, actually a new half site or something like that. But,
it's what pays my mortgage every month is the Shemale stuff. It's, I think it's because it's unusual.
Right.
You can't go to the corner street and pick up a Shemale, so the guys look at it online, and that's why it sells.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. I mean, and so far, I like the Shemale boards, like the Webmaster boards, and a lot of the macho crap, a lot of the weird stuff that I don't like at the zoo and other boards. A lot of that seems to be devoid of that, and I think it's because.
I find GFY pretty useless, actually. I mean,
yeah,
it's mostly just a bunch of pissing.
Right. It's just all, yeah, exactly. And I see people like putting up, I put up posts for jobs and everything else, and people come in and just like, they're like the kind of people, they just piss on everyone's thread. And it's like, why are you here? All you do is post piss ups, It's just like, I don't get it. But, we run a couple of gay gay blogs, Tokyo Twink. Tokyo Twink because, you know, one of our DVD distributors has a gay line and stuff. And the webmasters that I deal with that are all, it's like, it's funny, you go to those webmaster boards and to the shemale boards, but especially like the gay boards, what is it, gaydemon.biz or whatever. And there's hundreds of people on that board, and there's like, you know, I don't get any bullshit. I don't get any piss ups and stuff. It's just like people doing business and trades and being very nice. And it makes me think the customers are probably like that too. Like you're saying, you pay your mortgage with shemale stuff. It's your customer base, right?
It's most of my traffic is, I seem to have got shemale traffic. I guess it's because I ran a couple shemale sites for my neighbors.
Mm.
You know, it helps to have shemales living up the street from you.
I know, my goodness. You've got them in your backyard. It's like, you want to do a shoot? Sure, just roll out of bed and come on over.
I literally shoot them in my backyard.
Really? I swear, Fort Lauderdale has really matured since the last time I was there.
Yeah, I've been here since, well, I don't want to give up my age, but I've been here since a very, very long time when it was cow pastures. So.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Fort Lauderdale is very open these days. I love it.
Oh, well, that is good news. Yeah, I mean, I used to play at the Button, and if you ever remember that back in my punk.
I went to the Fort Lauderdale, which was in the building the Button was in.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, it's like that was about as risque as it got, you know, back in those days. It was like the early 80s or something.
Oh, no, now we have trannies working at Publix.
Oh, no. That's amazing. Good old Publix. How do you fill out the app, and which top do you get?
I don't know. They're usually, like, very mature and very beastly.
Oh, so you could just be a guy with boobs then, right? Like an older guy.
Yeah, it's, there's no doubt when a 6'4" cashier with giant hands is ringing up your order what they are, but hey, whatever, I'm just there to buy my groceries.
Yeah. No, that's cool.
If they were younger and more attractive, I'd probably ask them if they want to do some porn.
I know, right? Yeah, I mean, how difficult is it to like, is there much of a tranny shemale community like in South Florida, or is it growing?
Actually, Foxy Angel, who lives about 3 miles from me, and is also a close friend, that's I run foxyangel.com for. She's really active in it. She's one of the militant, very nice person, but she's one of these militant shemales, always on top, and all women should have cocks, and so she handles all that. There's a huge community down here, and I live next to Wilton Manors, which is now officially the gayest city in the United States.
Really? Wow. Okay. Wow, it has changed. Okay, because I grew up in Tampa, which is it's like just it's to the right of right wing, I guess. And
I remember Tampa had the Bridge Club.
The Bridge Club. Oh my goodness. What about what was that place downtown in Ybor City? Did you ever go to that place? What is the name of it? I want to say it's the Hacienda, but it's not called the Hacienda. But
God, I mean, this is the 80s. I have kind of a foggy memory due to substances of the 80s.
right. Well, I mean, that's how I was introduced to shemales. It's just like, it wasn't at this club. I think the club was a gay club, but then they had these shemale after bars or tranny, cross-dresser after.
It was an after-hours bar, and everything closed. There was nowhere else to go, so we all went to the Bridge Club, and yeah, there was a lot of trannies there. That's actually where I met the ones that I still do business with.
Really? Wow. Okay. Oh, cool. My goodness. Yeah, I just, when I showed up, it was usually with like 4 or 5 punk rock chicks, all in like fetish vinyl and leather and chains.
They were there too.
They were there too? Oh my goodness. I probably know some of your partners.
I used to love the Bridge Club. I mean, you went there and it was gay guys, trannies, straight girls, everything.
And was it like in a trailer behind a junkyard, or was that the one?
Something like that. It was very large inside. And I think it was under a bridge.
Oh my God!
Or next to a bridge, or
next to a bridge, right?
Yeah. God, I just, my memories from that time are quite foggy.
I know people used to, like, because I was going to college, and they'd ask me, why do you go to those bars? And I said, well, I play in a punk rock band, and I'm tired of, like, fighting my way out of shit-kicker bars, you know? And so you go to some redneck bar, and it's like punk rock night, and it's like, good luck to you, just trying to get out in one piece. And it's like, do you think I want to come back here and have a beer? It's like, I never want to come back to this place again. So when you hear about a place like that, yeah, it's much more relaxed, and it's just like...
What instrument do you play?
I'm a bass player and percussionist and drummer and all that stuff, but mostly bass, really bass player. And I did that whole thing. And so in the last band that I was in that was signed, a singer was gay, and she had she also had a sort of a cross-dressing following. It was kind of funny. It was like, we had a large following of like people, transgender, everybody. And we played like loud metal, speed metal or something. It was like punk rock metal, artcore or something. And so we'd have guys showing up, you know, all punk rocked out with mohawks. And then we'd see guys that look like they're out of the Village People show up. And it's just like, you know.
So you're like a Nina Hagen fan? Or?
Hell yeah.
I love Nina Hagen.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, my last band, or second to last band in Boston, we opened up for her in one of her last tours, or at least it was the last tour when I was in Boston anyway. And
so you actually met her?
I met her and her 18-year-old like German boyfriend or whatever, and we hung out because they were scoring off one of the guys in my band, and he kind of had other side jobs, if you know what I mean. And she was very cool and just like not very talkative, but just usually sitting around like, let's fuck. She was kind of a let's fuck person, you know. You're boring now. Fuck me.
I could definitely see her doing that.
Oh, God. And it was, we were laughing because, you know, I don't know how old she was, but she was definitely like double the size of 18. And she just, that's what we found. She's like, yeah, I'm her boyfriend now, but I'll probably go back to being her friend and then someone else will take over. and then I might go back. I don't know. Wow. It was very matter of fact, but it was like, you know, but she's pretty cool. Those were good times.
So how long has Juicy Bunny been around?
So we opened, when did we open? We officially launched the site just last year. And
it's a new site.
Yeah, it's a new site. And so we've just been compiling content and, you know, getting shooting. And so I could I'm still shooting, but if I stopped shooting, I wouldn't have to shoot for a couple of years probably and just keep putting out content. But I'm just, you know, with the whole content theft thing and everything else, it's really been nerve wracking to even do it. But we signed up with CC Bill and, you know, got everything with an affiliate program. And it seems like, I'm trying to decide what to do.
Looks like you have a tremendous amount of content there.
Yeah, we've got hundreds of models, and right now we've got, you know, we do everything like on a blog post kind of concept, and we've got like 350 posts inside the members area, so there's a ton of content. And, you know, it's mostly, you know, it's either... I mean, I personally favor, you know, I grew up on blonde white girls from Florida, so there's not a lot of blonde white girls from Florida in there, but, you know, so there's mostly Asian girls and...
Are you American or Asian?
I'm American guy.
Okay.
And I got, you know, my whole trip, if you, given the scene that you're in, I don't know if you read much, but my mentor for years before he died was this American writer, Paul Bowles. And I don't know if you're familiar with the...
No, I was a science... I still am a science fiction reader, but...
But he was a guy... He's the guy that got me into Morocco and going over to North Africa. And he was like a... I fell in love with Moroccan girls, and I actually got married, and that was a train wreck, I'll tell you. And then that was like a serious train wreck, and almost ended up getting killed and all this other stuff, and... like, oh my God. But be careful if you date a North African chick, I'll tell you.
I've already had someone shoot me, so, you know.
Oh no. Oh God. I've been shot at. and I've shot at people, but oh man, so that's not good. Oh my goodness.
I make sure these days whoever I date doesn't own a gun.
Right. It's just like I need to do a blood test and we need to do a background check. Do you carry a weapon? It's like, yeah, when that lump in your side is not your penis wrapped around your belt. It's actually a gun. It's like, yeah, I avoid those types. And I knew, well, with her, in her case, I knew it was over when she was sitting on top of me and she was giving me a blowjob to wake me up. And then when I was fully ready, she pulls out a knife. And I'm like, what? this has to stop. I know you love me, but come on. But the girls that are on Juicy Bunny, they're like, you know, all types, from like teenage girls to MILFs and you know, everything in between, and girls from all kinds of backgrounds. And I don't, you know, I look for girls or women that are interesting, you know, to me. Either they're interesting by, you know, how they look or their story or what they'll do for me. You know, what they'll do, you know, content-wise, or what their ideas are. Because I ask them, you know, do you have ideas or do you have stuff that you like to do? What's your favorite thing? You know, I have like a little questionnaire I give them.
So you put that in there? You put like a little bit about the girl in the blog? You said it's like a blog type inside the members area?
Yeah. No, I mean, that's the thing that I'm going through and adding now is a lot of this stuff. But a lot of that stuff's on the video. Like what I do is with a lot of the girls, you know,
So you interview them.
Yeah, we do an interview, and then I found out, you know, after a few girls said, oh, God, everyone does interviews, and then I started changing that up, and so I gave them a handwritten thing. But then, you know, with some girls that are just, you know, some girls are just, you know, are like anybody, you know, either the light's on and no one's home, or just there's no light on. And because I'm telling them, you know, I'm saying, you know, let's have fun. Like, don't tell me, you know, and then I got so many girls that start telling me their life story. And I'm like, and then I'd say, cut. Okay, is that real? And she's like, yeah, that's all. No, don't tell me real stuff. You can't tell me, like, your dad's name and, the brother you used to bang in the back seat. You know, you can't say all this stuff. You know, no, I don't want the real thing. I want you to, you know, go into Fantasy Island time here. And then, you know, have fun with this. And so, you know, even sometimes I would say, well, here's the questions beforehand. And, you know, just, you know, silly questions from, like, what's your favorite movie to, like, you know, are you a spit, swallow, or wear it kind of girl? Or, you know, where do you like to, you know, what's the weirdest sex you've had? Or how did you lose your virginity? And all these things. And some girls can have a lot of fun with it. Like Miko Sins, we did a shoot with her, and that girl just rolls with any punch you can ever throw at her, and she's pretty smart. And
don't you love those models?
I love those models. It's just so much fun. It's just like, you know, we're sitting here under, like, you know, 6,000 watts of lights. You know, you're sweating. You know, they're all like, oh, I'm going to be cold. It's like, yeah, but it'll make your nipples hard. It's great. and then I said, trust me, in 10 minutes, you're gonna beg me for a break. And she's like, why? And I said, go over there. And I turn on the lights, and I go, oh, my God. You know, and yes, so
some models are just so much fun to shoot, and then some you're just like, oh my God.
Right. I know. And some are just, you know, if you get sucked up into the lifestyle. When I first started, it's like, you know, the worst thing, like when I was shooting, I actually did some shoots in Florida, and you know, I'm generally a pretty nice guy until you piss me off, and then I just, like, I go to 11 from there. But, you know, if someone says, oh, I don't have a ride home, can you give me a ride? And it's like, and you're in Tampa, and it's like, where do you live? Not far. And then said, well, we got to get on the bridge. And then bridge. And then, like, where do you live? Port Richey. So, will I be home tomorrow? And then, you know, and I had a couple of girls like that, and but they're like, oh, I'll give you extra content on the way home. It's like, but I don't have my camera. It's too late. You got to come back. it's funny. And
do you have some models that you shoot over and over again?
Yeah, I do, and I've had them. There's no one that I'm shooting currently because I think a couple of them got deported. And so
that's always inconvenient.
It's kind of inconvenient. I don't think they're around, but yeah, I've you know, back in the like 2007, 2008, when a lot of people were doing solo sites, I got the idea too, and so I would start shooting girls for their site, and then sooner or later they flake, and then you realize, well, I don't have enough for a site. And so luckily when I sign them up, I sign it so we can do the roll them into Juicy Bunny and or do their site. And, you know, I've worked with a few, you know, but it's a special model, you know, that you, and you know that if you shoot, you know, it's like you've got to, after a while you start weeding them out. It's just because someone's really hot or just willing to like do anything, you know, in their content. It's like, it doesn't make them a good candidate for a business partner, you know?
No, it's, so what kind of promotional materials do you have for affiliates?
We've got the movie clips, video clips, and we basically make galleries. At this point, we make galleries and banners, and then we zip all of our content that we, and, you know.
So you have zips for people to want to make their own promotional.
Yeah. And we've got some, you know, we've got like more than 70 webmasters working with us at this point. We're trying to get more. And for the more high-powered ones, I mean, we offer better deals, and we actually, a few guys, you know, have asked to have access to the site, and I say as long as they don't like rip the whole site, you know, they can make content from stuff that appeals to them, that they know is going to work with their traffic. And so we allow that too. If you're sending us sales already, then, you know, we work with people on that and we'll put together special content, and we have like the gallery of the day and the photo of the day stuff, and we're trying to add tools and everything, but at this point we're still just two people. And so like today has been crazy, and just I'm setting up like some IPTV deals for a Japanese company that's doing pink films. I don't know if you know anything about pink films.
No, I don't. Tell me about them.
They're like it's like a Roger Corman meets Playboy.
Okay.
So you don't see any penetration, but it's like the story is like insane. And the, you know, we have another blog called JapanPinkFilms.com, and it gives you an idea of what's going on. And basically in Japan, where they, it's how they give their, you know, you can have a young Japanese director, like mainstream director, who's got like 200 credits. And you come here to Los Angeles and you meet someone at 35 and like, well, I've got two shorts. And it's like, And then, so what they do in Japan is, you know, a lot of them get their start working for pink companies. And so they don't show penetration, but they have storylines. I think a couple of years ago, the guy that won the Academy Award for Departures, Fujita, he got his start. In fact, we have the films called Groper Train. It's like, if you've heard about the groping problem in Japan, it's kind of a problematic, you know. And so they have like,
Japan has a groping problem.
Well, you know, it's a high stress situation there. Someone's got to let loose sometime.
Well, it's an awful lot of people and an awful little bit of land.
Yeah, everyone's jammed up. And if you've ever been to Tokyo, and because I go back and forth between here and Tokyo, and my wife's Japanese, and, you know, they hire people just to shove people into the trains, you know, to like jam you in. And so, you know, thank God everyone takes a bath every day, and for one thing, but, you know, it can be so bad. You know, there are certain time frames when they have the subway cars just for women and stuff. They have to,
Do you speak Japanese?
Skoshi desu ka. Yeah, I just speak a little bit.
Okay.
And thank God my wife's fluent, you know. And I'm avoiding it because her mother wants to give me an earful over what I'm doing. So I'm trying to avoid that. but that's a thing, is that you know, most people, you know, say like they're thwarted in their efforts to go to Japan, because everyone there speaks English.
Oh, really? I did not know that.
Yeah, it's just they're not willing to speak it with you.
Okay.
And it's mostly because the people make fun of them. They're afraid, you know, people make fun of them or whatever, and But I mean, they're all English is taught in all the schools. So I mean, if you went to school there, you know, you've learned some kind of English and stuff.
But I have a hard time getting people to speak English to me here in South Florida.
Right. Well, I'm in LA, so yeah, no tengo tiempo para ti. It's like, do you even speak Spanish, sir? It's like, yeah.
I look Spanish, and so trying to convince people that I don't speak a word of it is like very difficult.
Oh no, they want you to too, right? They start speaking louder. Yeah. Of course you understand me. Come on, you. You're just being difficult. But you know, but in any case, yeah. So I'm excited because we're trying to figure out what the next generation for Juicy Bunny is because. While the sign-ups to the pay side are okay, it's like everything is moving away from that model, and I don't know how long it's going to last, you know. And
well, it's basically you're basically promoting an amateur site if you're promoting Juicy Bunny, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, it's which I'll be honest, that's one of my weakest niches. I'm good at fetish stuff, you know.
Mm. But how do you see that model though for business? I mean, as like people signing up to a membership and staying a member and all that stuff.
I think it's very similar. With Foxy Angel, I do very well because she releases new content regularly, so the people will stay members in order to see what's new next week. I mean, it's like being subscribing to your cable company.
Mm. Mm.
You know, I think that's the one thing you got going. You know, against the tubes is people want to see new stuff. You know, you have to tease them with what's coming.
Right. Yeah. No. But do you guys fight piracy a lot or very much or?
We don't. Right now, I'm running two shemale sites. One is very small and just getting started. Actually, three. I'm sorry. Two are very small and just getting started. Foxy Angel's been around since like 2000. Mm. And I don't really find a lot of her stuff on the tubes. Mm. You know, it's like they're just loyal fans, and they just want to see what's coming out new each week, so we tease them.
Mm.
Mm. With Juicy Bunny, the only thing I see is you got such a collection of different ethnic groups. It seems like it should be separated into the people that are into Ebony and the people into Asian.
Mm. You mean into different sites or just on the site itself? Or
maybe on the site itself. I mean, with Foxy Angel, we actually, it's all duplicated, but we did an Ebony shemale, which is, you know, you get access to one, you get to access to the other, and actually all the Ebony content is at Foxy Angel too, but there's guys that just want to see black shemales, so we did a site we stick all the black shemales there. And you know, if you see something like that with Juicy Bunny, I just do ethnic sections.
Right. Well, once you get into the site, that's the thing. You can go. We've got a pretty decent search engine, a sort of search tool and category tool inside. And so if you want to just see all the Latina content and just that, then just one click and then all the Latinas show up because what we do is we put it into a model directory by name.
Okay.
And then you can break it down by, like, if you just want to see blowjob scenes or if you just want to see hardcore, you just want to see fetish stuff or whatever. But then we also do it by, you know, if you just want to see Mexican girls or even, you know, we break it even further. So we've got like a lot of Brazilian girls and Puerto Rican girls. And
what software are you using for backend?
Custom made. It was based on WordPress. And then it was custom made for us by a guy that does like the, I don't know if you're familiar with the Trike Patrol sites, but basically we had a CMS like software, and then that was modified, and then he added like some other elements, I guess plugins, and then modified those. So it's kind of strung together in one sense, but we were using, because we started out using that, what was it, website CMS, or I forget the name of the company, the same company that does that ClickX software, the VOD software.
Okay.
And the same guy developed a website, you know, using a WordPress, and so there everything is treated, you know. So we have like a models directory inside. We don't do any upselling or anything like that. and because I've just heard so many people complain about it. And then, but yeah, so you can do that. And I think with the next sites we're doing, like we're working on a Bali, you know, an Indonesian site where it's all going to be like Indonesian, Balinese gangbangs and stuff like that. And then I mentioned on the board, just because I like to say it, but we made a Viking connection, a connection in Finland, that is some guys that are producing, like, you know, sort of alternative, like Finnish porn.
Okay.
And so Vikings, you know, I love Viking porn. So.
I love Vikings.
Yeah. These guys are horny little Vikings, let me tell you. And the chicks are just raunchy, and I love it. You know, they're just like, everyone's just, they're like listening to hardcore punk and like banging away. And I hope they have the clearance on that. But in any case.
How often do you update Juicy Bunny, the members area?
Every week.
Okay.
And we update it weekly. And like now we're uploading a bunch of photo sets. And so we try to upload, you know, at least one or two videos a week. And then if we have, because we shoot like the photo shoots, and then we shoot like special little pieces. So we'll have, you know, short 2 and 3 minute clips. And then some members are like, wow, you just uploaded like a 50 minute clip, you know, 50 minute clip. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the times, because I try to not edit very much. I try to shoot with the idea that I'm not going to edit, because I want it to be a real, you know, experience. I want it to be. You know, I want the members to feel like, you know, because the girls are very aware, you know, I tell them to, you know, you're not, when you're shooting, you know, shoot to the camera or shoot to the, remember you're shooting to people who are watching, you know, shoot to the guy that you imagine who's watching you and stuff. And so I like to, when we can, when some girls that shoot with us, they really get that. It's really cool because they feel like, you know, you're, the person watching can feel like she's talking to them and that kind of stuff. But we do update. When we got started last year, we had trouble with updating and we had trouble with the software, so it wasn't working very well. But since February, March of this year, it's been like clockwork. Every Friday we update, and actually late Thursday night, Friday morning, we update. And we throw in bonus photo sets throughout the week, and then if we just, like now, we've gotten some bonus content, some extra stuff from Finland. The guy wants us to try and see what people think. And so we'll add that and say, in addition to the Friday update, Saturday or Sunday, you'll get another video will be coming. And we also, we have a forum that's like an open forum for everyone, but we have a private Juicy Bunny members area that people can go, that once they become Juicy Bunny members, they can log into. And we're starting to add girls there, not only the girls that are inside the site, and then like self pics that they take on their cameras and send to us, but also like girls that are pitching us, like, oh, I want to shoot with you, and or, you know, do you guys, we're looking for, you know, when agents send us pictures and we ask the members what they think. And so far, it's hard to get people to interact there because they're not, I think they're all just used to quietly downloading videos and masturbating, but we're trying to get more interaction. We want people to like, you know, what some sites do. I don't know if you, have you tried that at all, like having a forum or a place where people can interact, or what do you think about that?
You know, we have a forum for Foxy Angel, and it's more work than it's worth.
It's what? It's more trouble than it's worth?
Yeah, it's more trouble than it's worth. You know, we have like a handful of people that post all the time. Half of them aren't even members.
Okay. they keep hoping you're going to throw them a bone, right?
Yeah, you know, I mean, and they just, it's, yeah, I find the forums just to be kind of a waste of time for that.
We originally tried to have a forum within Juicy Bunny, and just like no one was posting anything, and so I was like, you know, I mean, what do I need to do? Like just more nude picture. I mean, more stuff, and it's weird. You know, like I extra month if you just respond.
I think you
like,
need to twiddle your wire.
Yeah, I have to twiddle my wire again. How's that?
A little tiny bit better.
It's better. Well, come on, baby. Work for Papa.
It was great, but now it's so-so.
I think I jammed it too far in the hole. How's it now? Yeah, I think it's too deep. Don't you hate it when it goes too deep?
Oh, yeah, it hurts.
How's that? Any better?
I think probably just leave it alone.
Okay. No, better? Good? No? I can hear it. If you can't hear the thump.
Yeah, it's,
I just won't even look at it. I'll just turn away. I'll try not to. Come on. It's, what do you want? It's Phillips. It's British made. Oops, sorry. Come on now.
Oh, wait, that's it. Leave it there.
There, okay.
Yeah, don't touch it.
That's what she said. Don't touch it. Just rub to the side of it. But yeah, so, you know, yeah, it's interesting with, I was thinking that we could do like a whole, you know, sort of a collection site with girls from a lot of different places, but I think you're right that people, it's like with your site with Foxy Angel, I think, you know, you've got a certain thing and then they want to go, people want to sign up for that certain thing and, you know, for me, I don't understand. I mean, people are saying, you know, you have to have a bunch of sites and then they get, one membership gets them access to all the sites. And it's like, how does that work? I mean, does that really work? Or?
Yeah, it does, because you have someone that comes into the site and they're into, say, black girls, and they're not really interested in seeing much else. They might browse the other sites, and hopefully, you know, if you don't do an update regularly, the other sites will keep them around. But people have very specific taste often. And, you know, they want to see Asian girls, they want to see black girls, they want to see girls with dicks, you know. So, you know, just, that's, you do alternate tours with, you know, one tour has all Asian girls, one tour has all black girls, and, you know, and even though they get access to everything, you know, hopefully the landing page in the members area at least is what they saw on the tour.
Right. What do you think, does that work with, like, say if you have a, because we have an Asian tour, we have amateur tour, and we have like a tube kind of tour,
okay,
tubish looking tour. And so, you know, we allow for the multiple redirects and stuff. But do you think, that's what I'm wondering. You just gave me an idea, and I'm just wondering if you just have like sort of the different tours, and I don't know, do you name them different things, and they all still land up in the same spot, or?
Well, actually, the one we're doing, we have an Ebony tour, and it goes into a site that's all Ebony, but we use Strongbox for security, and that allows us to redirect to any other member's site. So basically, the others, you know, if they join Foxy Ebony T-Girls, then the bonus site is Foxy Angel. If they join Foxy Angel, then the bonus site is Ebony T-Girls. So it makes it look like they're getting something else.
All right, because we use Strongbox too.
Strongbox.
Yeah, I love Ray. I gotta buy him a beer every time I see him. It's just like, thank you for doing what you do. Because it's
he has a real nice. He could set you up. I forget what it's called, but it allows one completely separate domain to log into the other domain for the members and seamless.
Oh wow! I have to.
So you could actually have juicy black bunnies and juicy Asian bunnies and.
Right. Oh, that's a good idea, because I think maybe you're right there. And yeah, I don't know. That's what we were wondering about, the technicalities, the technical aspects of it.
It's really easy to do a Strongbox. It's just some code, and he has to set up a CGI in there for you.
Right. Oh, those are great tips. Yeah, because maybe you're right in that aspect. I'm sure you're right, because it seems like a lot of more successful sites do it and stuff. And
I always find the more niche specific you are, the better the retention.
Right. I know, sometimes I don't always think like that. I think I'm like, well, would I rather go to Walmart, or would I rather go to the Five and Dime on the corner? And for me, it's like, I want to know that there's a huge Ebony section or a huge Latina section, but, you know, somehow I think people don't think that way in a sense.
Well, even Walmart. Walmart doesn't put, you know, the men's clothes with the women's clothes with the housewares. It's all in sections.
Right. True, true. Oh, come on. I know. But I'm just, you know, but see that, I guess that comes from my personal thing. Like, you know, I can fuck a Latina and roll out of bed and like get a blowjob from the black girl next door and then go over and then give the Asian girl anal. And I'm, you know, it's weird. I don't know why, you know, people should think like me, damn it. No, but I mean, you know, like musical taste too. I can listen to the Sex Pistols and I can listen to Wagner and I can listen to Brahms and then, you know, I can listen to, you know, Miles Davis. I don't know.
We just need more surfers like you. Anyway, that...
Yeah, I think so.
We're about out of time. In fact, actually running over, and my partner just got home, and she says I need to go to Publix.
Uh-oh. Have fun at Publix in the checkout lane. Can you send me a picture? I've got to see your checkout, girl. But thank you for calling me, and thank you for the interview.
It's been an absolute pleasure. You've been a wonderful guest.
Oh, I'm glad. I hope you had a good time. I had a good time.
Okay. Take care.
All right. Bye. Bye-bye, Cleo.
Okay, well, that concludes our show for tonight. We actually ran a few minutes over, and that was fun. Bye now.